You are listening to Feel Free to Deviate, the podcast about people, their careers, and their relationships with success. My name is Jim Turbert, and I'm the host of the show. Today's guest for episode 49 of Feel Free to Deviate is Eric Miller. Eric and I have known each other for a very long time, although we haven't talked for, I don't know, like 20 years. It's been a long time. And we were in a band together in high school. We lived together in Boston for a little while. Then we sort of went our separate ways. He went on to open a music school after trying a bunch of other stuff. He's married. He has kids. He homeschools his kids. He teaches music to the other people in his community. He's a pillar of his community, and we get to catch up a little bit here. Time was a little bit crunched, and I actually meant to meet up with him in person while I was on vacation the past month, but it just didn't happen. Also, I didn't hook up with Shane. Sorry, Shane. I'm going to call you soon. Vacation's fun and relaxing and everything, but often you have to deal with other people's schedules. Because there were so many schedules, I wasn't able to have as much freedom as I wanted. That's what happens when a lot of people and personalities are in the mix. I would give you an update for me, but all I can say is that bathroom renovation is still going on. Have not showered in my house for many, many, many weeks, months at this point. Fortunately, while I was on vacation, I was able to shower in a great number of houses, which was fantastic. I had forgotten how great it is to shower. The combination of construction and other life stuff, not really in a great spot right now, but I'm going to try to keep getting these podcasts out. I was really disappointed to see in my podcast app, in the list of podcasts, Feel Free to Deviate had a little moon next to it, which indicates that it is sleeping. And I don't want people to think that the podcast is sleeping, even though it was, because I was supposed to take a couple weeks off, and then I took, I don't know, we're going on 3 months now, which is bad. You're not supposed to do that. But, you know, what am I going to do? I did it, and now I'm back, and I'm going to try to post regularly now. So I say try. And I know you're supposed to say, I'm going to, you're supposed to be active. You're supposed to definitively say that you're going to do it. But I know that things are going to come up because once that contractor comes back here, my mind's going to go bonkers again. And then I might have to take some time off. I'm going to try not to, though. I'm going to try to be strong for myself, for my family, and for the people who listen to this. Anyway, strap in, get a drink, settle into whatever you're doing, and listen to my conversation with Eric Miller. He's a good guy. Why don't you, introduce yourself?
My name is Eric Miller. I have been a musician pretty much since high school. Since I like to tell people I heard Eddie Van Halen play.
Yeah.
And I remember the moment so clearly in my room. I heard this guitar and I literally froze, you know, because it was like nothing I've ever heard before. I was probably in eighth grade and I was just like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And proceeded to basically like, you know, that they say to lock yourself in your room, but I would practice hours and hours in my room trying to sound like Eddie Van Halen. And, you know, that's where the love of music really started. And it's evolved from there. But basically I've been doing music for, you know, since that point. Now I have a family and we live in Connecticut and yeah, that's me.
All right. But when you're at the, like, say you're at the school, you have kids, right? So
yeah.
I don't know how old they are, but I assume that you go to the school sometime for functions or whatever. So when parents that you don't know, so say, oh, well, Eric, what do you do? How what do you like? Do you go into depth or do you just say, I am a musician or I like, what's your line?
What's my line? It's kind of funny because we live in Farmington and, you know, Farmington, Connecticut, and it's a pretty small town and pretty much everyone knows me now because I've been teaching lessons here forever.
Yeah.
But I usually just tell people I'm a music teacher and they go, oh, that's interesting. Do you teach in the schools? And I say, no, I have my own business. And they go, oh, what do you teach? And I say, oh, I teach guitar and piano and drums and voice a little bit. And I help students record and write songs and I have camps and all these things. That usually sparks the conversation and they start asking questions. And
because they want their kids to go to camp.
Yes. So it's like, it's sometimes I'm like, I just must omit this stuff. And I've been blessed. I really have. Like I've been working for myself my whole life. And, you know, I've always had an abundance of students, but I like walk into the room and someone doesn't even know me. And they're like, hey, will you teach piano to my kids? I'd be like, I haven't even had a conversation with you. You don't even know what I do. But it's been good. I also teach at Tungsis Community College. I teach music production there. And music theory and guitar there. That's kind of like a part-time thing, though.
I'm a huge fan of community colleges.
Yeah.
In that kind of a place, I feel like you can really make a huge difference in somebody's lives. I mean, obviously, just teaching music in general, like you're putting yourself in a position to like be a pivotal person in that person's life. People's parents put them in music lessons. But when you go to community college, it's because maybe you feel a little undecided or not necessarily lost, but you're just looking for what your thing is. So people go there and they try a lot of different things. And if you connect to someone at the community college, you could really be setting a fire that will like change the rest of their life.
Yeah.
The entire trajectory of their life. And I just think that's magnificent. I laud you for your decision to take this part-time job in addition to the lucrative business of Connecticut suburban music lessons.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, like the students at a community college, they're just all over, right? Some super advanced, some like just ultra beginner, not sure where they want to go. And then you're just kind of like, your job is basically to like, you know, not only teach them music, but to just to guide them and to encourage them and just to say, hey man, you're doing great. You got to just keep going, you know, like hand in your assignment. like
make sure it's like, on time.
Yeah, like, you know, just, you know, like just be a positive force in their life. Yeah, so I like that. And you know, and I enjoy teaching the students privately. You know, I've had a lot that I've literally taught every kid in their family. Like I've been working with some families 15 years.
Wow.
They literally are like part of the family, you know. It's kind of cool. And like they're like now a lot of them are getting married and starting to have kids. And I just feel like really extra old because of that. But it's been good. And also, I started my career kind of more in the recording side. And I still do that. But like when I first graduated Berkeley, I started, you know, I was in a band for a while and did like jazz music and things like that. But I started recording music for like jingles and advertising agencies and like...
In Connecticut was this?
In Connecticut. So
is there a lot of work like that in Connecticut?
It was interesting. It was feast or famine, you know, like I imagine most things are. So this was before kids, obviously. And it would be like 3 weeks of slammed work and then a month of nothing and then 2 weeks of work and then a month of nothing. So it was great while we did it. I did a lot of different things, a couple film scores, you know, a lot of jingles, a lot of educational stuff. I would write music for a few production companies would hire me and things like that. But I've always taught kind of like alongside that. And then once we had kids, it was just too inconsistent. So I just decided to go full blown into the teaching. But the recording and the writing of music has always been like a super passion of mine. So a couple of years, 2 years ago, I started a YouTube channel and trying to teach people this, developed an online course and still like to write music myself. So I've kept that going all the while and just kind of integrated it into my teaching programs.
All right. I think that's a good method, you know. It's like if you're learning a new piece of software, it's nice to have a project that you need the software for. Doing someone else's prepared exercises is not always good. But if you've got a song, you got an idea for a song, you got to figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to work it in there.
Well, it's also interesting because like nowadays the laptop is like, you could almost view it as an instrument.
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
The purist in me says, nah, you know, but like,
let it go.
Trying to evolve with the times, you know, it's like, yeah, it is. Like in students, they come in, they know how to edit things and splice them up and make it sound really cool. And I'm like, wow, how did you do that? And,
exactly. It's not as easy as you think it is, even though the software can do anything. It can do anything you can think of.
You still have to be creative.
And you still have to be creative. And you also have to figure out how it does everything.
Exactly.
And then you also have to figure out how to undo it. Because whenever I play around with these things sometimes, and whenever I do, I always back myself into a corner. And then I'm like, oh, now I can't do this. But I should have done this like 10 steps ago. And then you have to redo it again. And it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you grow up doing it. Can you imagine, though, like when
when we were young, if we had like GarageBand or Logic or any of these things, Cubase, like whatever, yeah. Like, dude,
it's
insane.
I know
what's possible.
I know. I'm like, wait, you can just look stuff up and learn how to do. You know, like,
yeah. Or even just playing, you can like get sick drum beats to practice to.
it would be like such a game changer, you know. But I like to think that, like, you know, if you think of all the bands in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, like they were like, I mean, imagine Keith Richards as like, you know, a 15-year-old.
He's
sitting there like, like rewinding this B.B. King thing like 100 times going like, how did he do that? And then he like probably learned it kind of wrong, but that like sort of helped him develop the style of Keith Richards.
Totally.
I don't know. There's benefits to both.
Keith Richards wrote an autobiography, I don't know, like 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago.
I haven't read it.
You don't even need to read it. Get the audiobook, because I'll tell you why you want the audiobook, maybe a better bet.
Because does he narrate it?
No, he starts. Oh. He does the first chapter and maybe one of the chapters in the middle, but Johnny Depp narrates it as him.
That's even better.
And it is hilarious.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So just get the audiobook. It's totally worth the cost.
Yeah.
Just get it. It's amazing. Okay.
That seems like a good piece of history right there.
And and also the stories are just bonkers. I mean, it's Keith Richards, you know?
Yeah.
But he talks about stuff like that, or he talks about like waking up and like having written the riff for Jumpin' Jack Flash in the middle of the night and not even remembering it and stuff. Yeah.
That guy's an anomaly, man. Like, I saw him one time like do like, you know, 20 one-handed push-ups, you know, like,
yeah.
Like just like crazy stuff like that. You're like,
he's like 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
He looks like a skeleton. He's done all the drugs, like every one.
Every single, and he still survives to.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the book is great, but the audiobook is totally worth listening to. It's amazing. I highly recommend it to everyone who's listening.
Well, that's, you know, I taught rock and roll history at Tunksis before production, and you can grab anyone's attention telling a story about some like
totally
extravagant thing that any rock star has done, you know, and it's like, they're like, whoa, really? Wow. And you just, all the eyes wake up and, you know, it's kind of sad, but a lot of them are like, wait, who's Paul McCartney? Like,
oh yeah.
The 20-year-old, you know, but like, you know, it's.
Well, I have a friend who's super into music. Her parents were classical music people. So she grew up listening to classical music. And then when she was in high school, she started listening to like 90s indie rock. And one day we were talking and, we were listening to this indie rock band and they were doing a cover of Long, 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 the George Harrison Beatles song. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, wow, this is a good cover by the band Low. And my friend said, this is a cover? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, who did the original? I'm like, the Beatles? Maybe you've heard of them. There are gaps in everybody's knowledge. So it's weird that the Beatles would be one of those gaps, but it is a possibility. It happens.
Well, it's funny. Like I was, sometimes I like to ask students, like, what do you think the most popular art? I actually Googled yesterday what the most popular artist was. Cause I was
today contemporary.
Yeah. Like we're like, just like of all time. And I was fearing that it might be Taylor Swift, you know, like, she might be like nearing not to bash Taylor Swift at all.
I just don't care. She seems fine. I just don't care. You know?
Yeah. I was like, is she more popular than Michael Jackson at this point? Like, I don't know.
Dude, that can't be possible.
No, it's not. I you know, according to Google, as of July 13th, you know, she's still not, but she's like four, maybe.
Four? Whoa.
I don't know. This was, don't quote me on it, but this was just like the first thing that popped up.
That's insane. That's really, I mean, that's impressive.
It is. I mean, from a music business, like she's really smart.
Yeah, strictly business.
You know, like she's got like the 13-year-old girls that from 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So they still like her.
And now
she's
got
the 13. Yeah. And she's got the 13-year-old girls now, you know, and anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and she's good. It's not like she sucks. Like she's definitely good.
No, she can perform. She can write. She can, you know, she's got it, the whole thing.
Indeed. And it's not my thing. I don't get into it, but I'm not even sure I would recognize any of her songs if you played one for me. I'm pretty far removed from pop music. I watch Saturday Night Live, so if they do a guest spot on Saturday Night Live, I see them. The algorithm for the streaming services pushes a lot of stuff towards me, and I find that often it's pretty good at recommending things that I might be interested in. So yeah, so that's how I discover a lot of things lately. Unless I actively seek out what I see, like these artists that I see popping up in social media and stuff, I don't hear them. Mm-hmm. There's no place I would hear them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, because I'm trying to stay relevant to what the students are listening to, and I don't listen to them, but I'll be like, hey, what do you want to learn today? And then they'll like give me a song, you know, like
yeah.
a current song. And I sometimes it's kind of interesting to see what's on the top 50 Spotify, but like, yeah. I don't know any of them.
No. But what do the kids ask for? What are the kids into? Like, well, yeah. I mean, do you think your students are representative of the zeitgeist, or are they like music nerds or like?
It's a gamut. You have some kids that are really, you know, eclectic and cool, and they like this ambient stuff, or like they okay. like this, you know. And then you have the, you know, because I still teach guitar, so it's like a lot of the stuff you need to like go back to the 70s and 80s and 90s yeah. to play a lot of that stuff. So, and then they're like that. And then there's a lot of the people that like the pop stuff. So, you know, the Olivia Rodriguez or whatever, you know.
Oh yeah. I know she was on Saturday Night Live and I think she's very cute. So like, I know who she is, but that's all like,
yeah,
that's all I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it runs the gamut. And then, you know, for piano, still people like classical or jazz. So it's kind of cool. It's all music. It's
young people. The young people like classical and jazz, or their parents force them to learn like Rachmaninoff or something.
No, I would say about 5 to 10% of the students like that music.
Yeah,
yeah,
like true believers.
True believers. Yeah. Yeah, but it's cool. I learned from them. I learned that, you know, they introduced me to new styles. Like
yes,
a student introduced me to Marcus King, who's like this amazing guitar player.
I've never even heard of that dude.
Oh, dude, he's like this. He's got so much soul and feeling in his playing and the way he sings. Like, I'm like, and I never would have heard of him. You know, maybe through social media it would have popped up, but.
I'm writing it down because I'm going to check it out. All right. I always check it out. I might even,
I mean, if you're into that Southern rock with like soul kind of stuff, like.
It's not so much my thing these days, but, you know, whatever. Check it out.
Great guitar tone.
Awesome town.
Yeah.
but has there been anything aside from Marcus that you were just like, oh, this is interesting? Like you mentioned before, ambient stuff. What ambient stuff are they listening to?
Like lo-fi.
Like those playlists that pop up.
Yeah. There's just these playlists and just styles of music. And it's almost like the artist is like, they just like the sounds. It's like they don't really know who the artist is, but.
Lately, I've been kind of at my wit's end. I'm like super stressed out. We got a bathroom renovation going on and it got bad recently. I got this ball in my stomach because I feel like every day I'm going to have the fight with the onnamer. The onnamer is the word for contractor in Dutch. Because of that, one of the things that I've been listening to is I subscribe to Tidal and they have a Tibetan meditation playlist and it's just like the singing bowls.
Yeah.
It's just And I find that's kind of like the lo-fi thing. It's just like something to put in the background while you're doing something else.
Wow.
I'm not actually meditating, but maybe I should, but there's something about the frequencies of the bowls that like diverts my brain from that horrible feeling. It actually works a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually wrote some meditation music once for this person and she had me write 7 different pieces for each chakra.
Dude. Yes.
Yeah. Like I was like, okay, so apparently like there's like set each key. So each piece was in a different key based on the chakra. And then she would like use the music and like do the meditation over it. Anyway,
and
that's my experience.
Like this. She talks very quietly.
Very, very calm. And
I love it.
Yeah. So that was my experience of writing meditation music.
That's cool. You should do more of that. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it is a good money, like the meditation music gig.
The thing that I've gotten the most sales, not sales for, I guess, but it's gotten the biggest audience reach. Actually, I had to write potty training music.
Yeah.
So that was...
Dude, you need to send me links to this.
Oh, dude, I don't like... Yeah, this company hired me a while back, and it's in Walmart and like Target. And it's
for real?
Like, called Potty Power. Yeah.
And do you get royalties?
No, this was, I did at, for a little while. And then okay. I was like more of a, like, I'll just write the, the one time thing. And
that's
then,
how they get you.
I know, man. I should have just said, hell, I'll do it for free. And then, you know,
I need points.
Yeah. But no, there was like one song for every part of the, you know, bathroom process, wipe your bottom, you know, wash your hands. Like,
dude, I definitely, is it on the streaming services?
I don't know. I don't know. It's definitely on like, you know, if you Google, you know, Potty Power, there's like Potty Princess.
Potty Power.
Yeah. I think I even did a Potty Pirate.
Dude, that sounds nasty. But yeah. Everybody poops.
Good
I've
times.
Been told.
Good times. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
good. But,
we're
okay,
all human.
So this is good. This is the kind of stuff that I wanted to hear because I knew that you had the music school, which I think is awesome because it's not just you doing the thing. Like if you go to the website, you see you got a drummer, you got like singing even, right? You've got like a
yeah,
bunch of
have,
different people who teach lessons. It's like full service. You could bring your entire band there and learn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have anywhere from 6 to 10 teachers in a given year, depending on like, you know, some of them come and go. But yeah, we have a drum teacher, a couple piano teachers, voice teacher, and they're all super educated. Like a couple of them have doctorate degrees. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, they're really great. And a lot of them, so I started like just asking, you know, my students that got really old, hey, do you want to be an intern teacher?
Yeah.
And it was cool because like, I knew them really well and we had a good relationship and they knew kind of how I taught. Mm-hmm. So it sort of kind of grew out of that. So for a long time I had a bunch of my, and I still like to hire like all of my students because I think it's just cool. You know, they know me.
That's awesome.
And one of my
circle of life, man.
Dude, it's, and I have the best, I don't know what you call her, virtual assistant maybe, but she was like a piano student from like, you know, 6 to 15. Mm-hmm. And then now she's like just graduated college, but she's so good. And she's really, really great. And she edited all my courses and all my YouTube videos and does
so
thumbnails. Cause
dude,
I would never do
psyched.
That stuff.
No, like, you are lucky. That is an asset.
It totally is. And she's great. So
yeah, I'm glad to hear all this stuff. Cause I knew that you had this music school, but we haven't talked for 20 some odd years. And yeah, I just never knew what happened in the meanwhile. Like, I know that you went to school for film scoring and you said you played in bands and stuff, but like, it wasn't really clear to me if you had some other mission. Even before I met you, like, I heard the lore of Eric Miller, where you were like this hotshot soccer football prodigy, and everyone was just like, oh man, he's really good. And then evidently, the day you heard Eruption in your bedroom or whatever it was, you switched. You just quit that and started woodshedding on the guitar, and you just got deep into that.
Mm-hmm.
Like ever since I've known you, you're insanely focused on whatever it is that you're into. Like by the time I met you, you were already a mad shredder. Like it was insane. Everybody acknowledged your supremacy in our scene. And then, you know, whatever, we graduated, we went on to the thing. We ended up living together in Boston when you were at the Berklee College of Music. I lived with you, I don't know how many, like 3 years we lived together maybe?
Yeah.
I probably saw you like 15 minutes because you were always either at school or working in your bedroom with the door closed. And I would only see you when you would come out. You would come out, you'd be like, coffee.
Yeah.
Handful of, literally, like I know this, I don't know if I'm telling tales out of school, but handful of Cheerios, and then back into the bedroom. Like just deep focus on whatever you're doing. So like you totally throw yourself into all this. So I'm just like, I'm wondering, like in the time between Berklee graduation and playing with those bands and doing the stuff, like did you have a goal then, or was it just to do the commercial stuff? Was there something that you were aiming for?
You know, probably when I was in high school, I just wanted to be a rock star. right? Yeah, we all did. We had the Foam was our band, and it was so much fun. And Todd is the man. And I see Caleb every now and again on Facebook, and he's still playing. And
he's a music teacher too, right?
Yeah, I think so. And he gigs a lot. But then it kind of shifted when I went to school. I got so into music, and like for a while, like I got, you know, jazz, and like turned into like this total musician, you know, like studying classical music and studying jazz music. And it's great. And then when I graduated, I was in a rock band, kind of like didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to like do music for my whole life and kind of maybe make music and write music. Cause I think that that's like really my favorite thing. And it still is to make music. And I have a new band now, called True North Rising, and I write music when we write tunes together, writing music and the joy of music and just playing music. That's been the thread line, but I've didn't have all these little deviations off of that, you know?
Yeah.
Where I've kind of like tried this avenue in music and tried that avenue in music, and tried this and tried that. I don't know if I'm answering your question or not, Jim.
It's good enough. Keep going.
But I still love it. And there is like this driven part of me that sometimes like is like, oh, I wish I could just like not have that sometimes, like just not be constantly thinking about something.
Uh-huh.
But it's been a good thing for the most part. And I think it also has morphed into a business mindset, like of really focusing my attention on how do you grow a business? How do you build a business? How do you...
Right.
market yourself, and like that's kind of been a sort of passion, and like to be a musician any stage in life, you have to like have some business skills, because most musicians don't have like 9-to-5ers, and you know, you gotta know how to market yourself and all that. And so that's kind of been a passion, and as well, for a while I was an Alexander Technique teacher.
I don't know what that means.
That's like a total deviation off of music, sort of, but it's a type of education where you learn to move really efficiently.
Whole body or
whole
hands?
Whole body. Okay. So like how you know, your posture, your breathing.
I could use that.
And a lot of, well, I, you know, many hours slumped over a guitar, I had to learn how to like to use my body well. And so I liked that a lot. And then that's where I met my wife.
Okay.
She was a dancer. Mm-hmm. So she came from the kind of dance background. Nice. So for a while, I also taught the Alexander technique, but that's about as far as stretched from the music world as I've gotten.
Oh, my background light battery just died.
This is an audio podcast, right? It's not video.
Well, it is. I'm doing it this way because I've been toying with the idea of putting it on YouTube to try to get more people.
Yeah.
Because when I post on social media, I tend to do better on YouTube than I do on Instagram. Yeah, I was hoping that maybe that would get more people into it. The listenership is growing, but it's not fast. It's really glacial in pace.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I, you know, just from my experience, like about 2 years ago, I started a YouTube channel, and it's been slow. It's been growing consistently, but I wouldn't say it's like, you know, it's slow growing, and you know, you have to just find so many ways to like pique people's interests and like,
and you have to be consistent
and and it's interesting because like I'll post a short video on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, and sometimes it's like has nothing to do with the content. It's just like which platform decides to push that.
I know.
So like Instagram will have 3,000 views.
Yeah.
Facebook has 20, and then YouTube, you know, it's like,
and then so the next day with something almost identical, you get like 50 views, and you're like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So don't attach your self-worth to a post.
I'm not, but I do.
No, I'm not saying to you. I'm saying to in general.
It's genuinely confusing. I don't know. It's kind of fun, but it's almost like it's like a gamified action. So it's like you this like I want the numbers. I need the numbers, and you go after. Yeah. And then you get disappointed. You're like, I'll just try again.
Yeah. And it's like that that hit.
Yeah, you get, exactly. It's
dopamine really, hit.
So yeah, anyway, I think over vacation, I'm probably not going to post much. And then all my numbers are going to go to hell. And then I'll start over again in the end of August or September and see how that goes.
Yeah.
I always ask everybody, do you think of yourself as being successful? And before you answer, at the very least, I think that you're successful just because you've been working for yourself and you're maintaining your life. You have a house and a family. And that to me means that you are successful regardless of how you feel like how you feel about what you're doing. But it seems like you actually like what you're doing. Like this is what you chose to do. And that's good.
Yes. So ultimately, you know, I feel I'm pretty lucky just because I've been able to, what you just described, I've been able to work for myself. And so my wife, when we had kids, she was like, yeah, I'll go back to work in like 6 months. We're going on 13 years now. So she's been able to like, be with our kids and we homeschool the kids.
Whoa, really?
I say we, but she homeschools. So like that's been really fortunate doing music and being able to support a family. So I feel lucky in that way. And
is the studio attached to the house or is it in another building?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if I should do this or not, but this is my little webcam. And so I have, let's see, this is another room there. There's guitars and where are you? You know, there's basically a two room. It's like an attached, see, now it's all screwed up.
Yep, it is. Sorry. I didn't mean to make you do that.
No, I did it. yeah, it's like a mother-in-law suite on the side of my house. And we bought it for that specific reason. Cause like when we lived in West Hartford, we basically got kicked out. So I bought my grandparents' house 1 or 2 years out of college. My dad gave mortgages and got me this super deal.
Yeah.
So basically I lived there with, my good friends from high school.
Okay.
They all moved in, John and Brian. Josh. Yeah.
Brian lived there too? I want to talk to him, dude. Does he still fly planes?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I totally want to talk to him.
And his brother, Paul. Yeah. So
I mean, I wouldn't mind talking to Johnny as well. Paul, I don't know what his deal was, but I always remember him being a super cool kid.
He is cool. I mean, the Vincennes are cool. Yeah. So that was like a bachelor pad for a while. And anyway, my wife moved in. We fixed it all up. I had the studio in the basement. And then West Hartford was like, no, you can't have a, home-based business.
Why?
You got to leave. It was so dumb. Anyway, long story short, she was pregnant and we were like, we need a bigger house. So we basically found this place with it contingent upon being zoned for a business.
Business, right.
So like, there's like this attached separate entrance to the side. So it works perfect for a business and the town knows we're here. So it's legit.
But yeah.
I count myself blessed in terms of being lucky. I'm now, I would say a person of faith, Jim.
Yeah.
Through a lot of hardship in our life. I feel like I've come to know God more and that has really guided me.
Yeah.
And I think that like he's kind of steered me in this course of staying teaching music. Like I want to say like, oh, it's something that I've done myself.
Uh-huh.
But really it's his work.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm going to give you the credit, but on that note, I feel like you're very inactive on social media. Like maybe like every now and then I see something pop up from you. One of the times it was a group of your students playing YYZ, which cracked me up because I was just like, that's what the kids are learning today. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
But then one of the other things was it could have been Ashley or maybe your someone posted it. And because you were tagged in it, it popped up in my feed. And it was you like shredding in the church band or something. Like, are you the church band shredder?
Well, I play, I guess you could say that. I mean, I play at our church.
The secret weapon.
it's funny because I was like, we went to church maybe 10 years ago and I was like, I was thinking like, oh, it's all organ and like, kind of like what I grew up with. And
yeah.
Then I was like, I saw they had guitar and I was like, wait, there's guitar in church now? And, so I was like, wait a minute. And sadly, probably I should have been like more drawn to the message, but I was like, no, there's guitar in church. And anyway, so that kind of like brought me in, I guess. And then a couple of years later, I auditioned and I thought like, oh, it's going to be all serious and like...
Mm-hmm.
But the worship leader at the time was so cool and he was joking around the whole time and I just had a blast. Like yeah. there wasn't a lot of ego in the group. It was just a lot of fun and I would play really conservatively, like, you're just supposed to play like serious worship music. And then like right. the guy's like No. If God put it on
God
your heart,
God knows like, how to party, dude.
Yeah, like, dude, you should rip it, man. So it's fun. So I do that in the side, and yeah, I guess like he's kept me teaching. Truth be told, like there is times when I am bored out of my mind.
Really?
Like I've taught this song.
Oh, right.
So many times, and I'm like not bored out of my mind
because
every student's different. But I'm like, oh wow, if I have to teach this hand placement the same, you know, or
yeah,
this
no,
note.
I get it.
And I'm like, I should just do something else. And then like I get sent like 10 new students, and I'm like, okay. I guess this is where I'm at.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the same with, I used to work at the school in the art department, in the photo department, and there's the main teacher there at Wellesley. There's a permanent faculty photo member. At that time, it was Judy. And, you know, she teaches that. But because introduction to photography is one of the most common and popular elective courses, she probably taught photo one 8 million times. And if you're on Wellesley campus, how many times can you see the same picture, the same lamppost?
Yeah.
And so it's, you're, if you have like an intro class, you're better off having the inexperienced young teacher because that person is all in. They're like, this is my first teaching job and it's awesome. I'm super excited about your progress.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get tired of it. Like you see the same pictures or the same songs or the same paintings or whatever over and over and over and over again. It's hard to keep your interest.
There is that. So, you know, you just have to stay present to the student and not let your mind go off and like, you know.
Yeah. Thinking about groceries.
Like, yeah. It's like, because that actually makes it worse. But for the most part, I mean, and that's why I like to do, I've deviated, feel free to deviate.
Yeah, by all
means. I've deviated from, you know, like teaching just guitar to like teaching piano or teaching theory or music production or and all these side things and songwriting. I love teaching songwriting. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
So what about stumbling blocks? Like I guess you just described the city of West Hartford telling you that you couldn't have a business in your basement. That's a pretty big stumbling block. But like anything else that you had to get over? Like,
I think there's been a lot of failed business attempts.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, side projects that I've tried, you know, that just haven't like fruitioned at all. Like, you know, at one point I mean, 10 years ago, I tried to start an internet business that like died because I was like, I had no idea what I was doing. And in hindsight, if I had stuck with it being that far back, I probably would have been a lot better now. But like trying to figure out camera angles back then and making the materials, I was like, what is this world? Then at one point, I tried to be like sell music products. So I tried to like be the mom and pop store where I'd, you know, sell guitars and sell sheet music.
That's tough. And
I realized very quickly that there is no markup with Amazon anymore.
No, you know, there's like, this so place like, called Guitar Center.
Yeah. I mean,
unless you're really niche on like vintage guitars or something, you like.
Exactly. Exactly. Unless I buy like $5,000 guitar pedals and like,
take out $1 million insurance policy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's just. So I was like, oh, that didn't work. And, you know, so there has been multiple business attempts. Man, I failed a lot, you know, and all of these things. You know, there's other setbacks, you know, just challenges of being a parent, I would say. Like, that's like the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Right. And just growing, you know, raising kids. And you know, that's one of the reasons we chose homeschool is, you know, had difficulties with learning styles and particularly our son.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, just learning delays and things like that. And, you know, seeing like, wow, he's not like every other kid, which isn't a bad thing, but you know, that's one of the reasons we chose to homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's been a lot of sacrifice in that too, you know, a lot of sacrifice in my wife, not going back to work and me feeling like I just have to work insane all the time hours to kind of make up for it.
Yeah.
But he plays piano now, and it's really cool to see his learning style with piano, because like he won't let me do anything with him. He's just like, Dad, like I think I showed him like where to put like his hands at one point. And so now he just like, you know, as every 10 and 11 year old boy like is obsessed with video games.
Okay.
So he listens to the video games music and he plays it on the piano.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. I've just loved to see his progress and like tried not to stunt that in any way. Cause like the second I say something, he's like, get out of here. And he walks away and he quits.
Yeah, so, like, he's young though, man. He'll come around. He'll be asking for some record recommendations someday.
I hope so. And I'm hoping that, you know, maybe someday if I'm lucky, he'll take over the business, you know, so I can just hand it off to him. And
does that look like something that might happen? Like, what else is he into?
Guns.
Well,
this day and age. He's like really into, like, I mean, little teeny airsoft BB guns.
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's just, but like, he's into hockey and, you know, like,
all right, stuff. You know, yeah,
a lot of like kid boy
it could
stuff.
Be totally different next year too. So who knows? Like that's
yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah. We'll see. We'll see with that. And my daughter's like really into art, so she's like super, super into art. And so you'd probably appreciate that more, Jim. But like,
I love art, Eric.
You always have.
I'm down with art. I'm a patron of the arts.
Yes, I remember them.
I don't know, like, if you have to bug out, I wouldn't mind asking some more questions about homeschooling, because we talk a lot about education on this show. And there have been a couple homeschoolers that I spoke with, and they did it. Or actually, I talked with Shane Flaherty, and he and his lady were considering homeschooling. And I haven't checked in with him for a while, so I don't know if they ever actually did it. Hi, Shane. He's probably listening. He's definitely going to listen to this one because you're on it. and then a woman named Viva. Who, she lives in this crazy off the grid situation. I'm actually going to see her when I'm in the US as well. Yeah, like you said, that your son, you felt like he just didn't fit into the thing. Like, I feel like all kids to some degree have that. Like, the school system fits most people pretty well.
Yeah.
Some people are a little bit further out. And I see it at our school as well. Like, my kid has dyslexia in her class of 20. I don't know, somewhere between 25 and 30 kids, 10 of them, I think, have dyslexia. Like, it's insane because of it's not a special school, but it's a bilingual school. So it's not just a normal Dutch public school. It's a special program because we were the second year because of that. It's like a very, very white, very upper middle class kind of vibe. And it's very homogenous. In that class, it's changed since, but like in that group, that's pretty much what it is. What am I getting at? The teachers, I feel like they get comfortable with a certain level of homogeneity, and the moment that someone kind of strays from being super easy, they lose their marbles. They're just like, oh, I can't deal with this. This kid's a troublemaker. And even if they're just a kid who like might be hyper or might have reading problems or whatever, all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can't deal with this. This is just way too outside the norm. But I look at it and I think you're just pampered because you've got all of these upper middle class kids from backgrounds with highly educated parents. And like, there's one that's kind of difficult and you lose, you're like, come on. So like, I can imagine that in a public school, well, Farmington probably has amazing public schools, but I would imagine that it's a similar vibe in Farmington.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sam had multiple diagnoses when he was 2 years old. Some doctors were like, he may never talk. And I was what?
Wow.
Like, first of all, the doctors, you know, shame on you for saying something like that. But anyway,
for real.
You know, like, it was really my wife. She would just stay with him and just teach him all these things outside of, you know, it was only kindergarten and first grade at that point. Or no, just kindergarten. And just really drill these exercises. He was going to therapy and stuff like that. We were fortunate to do some outside therapy. And then she's like, I think I can do this. And I was like, this was before, you know, the pandemic. So I was like, this is crazy. I was like,
like, really?
You know, like I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. So we did. And she's, you know, we're 5 years in now, and you know, he'll be like off in another world, just looking around, you know, attention, thinking about something else, and constantly redirecting him back, bringing him back, sitting by his side, you know, for 3-4 hours a day, just constantly with him. And you know, you just can't get that kind of attention at a school.
No.
Or you just get pulled out of every classroom by a specialist. And then before you know it, the kids are like, hey, why is Sam getting pulled out all the time? Oh, he's in that other group. And, you know, now he's doing now he's doing great, you know, and he's not perfect by any means, and he's still got some...
The rest of us are.
But, you know, and then there was some social stuff with my daughter going on, and this was only second grade, and you can't really... It'd be hard to homeschool one without the other, so we pulled her out too. And then the pandemic hit, and I was like, wow, that was a pretty good idea.
This is working out.
I mean... Yeah. Yeah. Of all the hardships, I think that was like, that was one where it was like, oh, it wasn't as big of a deal.
Yeah.
But you know, there are, it's not for everybody.
Well, not everybody can actually do it, and not everybody wants to do it.
Yeah. It's freaking hard.
Like I like the idea, but I'm like, there's no way that I would do it. I would just go nuts.
Yeah. It's my wife is something like, I guess she's like me, that she'll dive and give 120% into something, and so the first year was really hard because it was like, well, what style of learning are you? What curriculum are you? Are you like, you know, we're like, what? Like classical? Are you, you know, this style? Are you like, no, there's like, you know, no school or deschooling, you know, they call it unschooling. We're like, okay. You basically let the kids just
run
do whatever.
Wild.
And that, I'm not particularly into that one, but you know, there's a lot of different learning styles, but like you can do a curriculum that's like based on your student, or you can pick and choose what kind of curriculums you want. I think early on, I did have some students in my 20s, and I was like, they were homeschooled, and I would drive to their house and I'd give all of them lessons, and I'd be like, they're going to grow up and be totally screwed up. Like they're so isolated. Uh-huh. And I watched them grow up, and it's not like this for everybody, but like they got to be valedictorian of their college. Right. And I was like, wait a minute. Wait, like self-learners, right. Like maybe there's something here, you know?
No,
like,
I think that there could be when you're in a system that's designed just to make you follow a very specific rubric, it's easy to game the rubric. But if you're actually in an environment where you're forced to adapt and learn stuff, then you learn stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep.
I'm not saying that homeschooling is the way, but I just think that it is an option. I feel like sometimes homeschooling it's like the butt of jokes because some people who do homeschooling have no business teaching kids. But then, you know, some people in the public school system have no business teaching kids either. So it's just like anything, like some cops are bad, some cops are awesome, some politicians are bad, some politicians are awesome. So it's not really about homeschooling. It's more about
what's good
for you
student.
And what's good for them. Does it work?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sounds like it works for you.
It does. I mean, it's still with challenges, but it's, I mean, sadly too, like but it works for us. You know, I work until 8 o'clock every night. So, but I can swing in and take my lunch break and hang out with my daughter.
Which is sweet, right?
Yeah, like she's like two rooms over.
Yeah, so that's totally cool.
You know, and it works for us.
So, but what about social stuff? Like, who do they hang out with? How do they meet friends? Or do they meet school?
For a time that was like, oh, their friends were coming in to the lesson. Anyway, but we have co-ops that we do. Like there's like these groups for homeschoolers
that get
together and like on different, and they do field trips and they do like,
cool.
You know, every Friday we do something and then they're involved in things at night. So it works. I mean, it's not perfect socially. Like, my son's of an age, and I'm like, yeah, there's more girls, Sam, if you're in a public school than you are, you know, in these isolated homeschool groups.
Awesome.
You know, you know, you're smaller pond. But my wife also got into like homesteading. So we have chickens and quail.
Yeah.
And
do you eat the quail
garden.
Or do you eat their eggs? Like, what is the...
Both.
And
both.
Do they just breed so much that you can eat them and have another one?
Yeah, it's like, it's you know, again, one of these things that I've never thought I would do. But
dude,
yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
She, you know, has this little incubator and she takes some of the eggs. You know, we eat, they produce tons of eggs.
Quails.
Like a chicken's, quails.
Yeah.
Chickens like, if I feel like it, they're kind of like, you know, I'll lay an egg. But a quail are like, you know, they're like, they're workers and they just produce eggs. She'll like have the females on one top, on the top, and the males on the bottom to separate them. And then, you know, every 7 weeks she'll process them. And, you know, she's got the little guillotine and.
Yeah. Whoa. Dude,
yeah.
That's
it's
hardcore.
Like, she grew up in a farm.
Okay.
So she, that whole thing is like.
It doesn't even faze her.
Well, it's funny because she like. You know, once she hit, like, it got into her 40s, like, that farming gene, like snapped, and it, like, you know, she was not like that, you know, before when I married her. But it's cool, like, you know, fresh vegetables all the time, tons of work, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course. That sounds wonderful. And do quail eggs taste different than chicken eggs?
They're a little bit richer, I would say.
But like
they
fattier.
Taste pretty, a little bit. Like, I guess they have more omega-3s or something like that.
Okay. And are they the same size?
No. Like,
they're tiny.
One quail egg equals three to four quail eggs equal one chicken egg.
Okay.
And they're also kind of a pain to open. You got to like have especially special scissors to like cut the top off. And then, you know, cause they're too small to like open normally.
Okay.
To crack. But, yeah, like a fresh quail or chicken egg is like super bright yellow. Like when you mix it up, like you're like, wait, this isn't the eggs at the store are like kind of like light yellow. These are like rich, dark yellow.
I like it. I love a fresh egg.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I didn't expect to talk about that today. See, that's what happens when you don't talk to somebody for 20 years.
Yeah.
You learn all these new things. You've learned nothing about me except for that I'm stressed out and my bathroom sucks. But I will tell you more in the future if you want to chat again sometime.
Sounds good.
I'm really happy that you did this, and I hope we can talk again sometime.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for having me, man. This is great, and good luck over in your bathroom project. And
thank you. I'll post the website and all that stuff. But if there are specific links to what was it called, North Star Rising?
Oh, True North Rising.
True North Rising.
Yeah. YouTube is just at Miller Music. If you just do the little at symbol Miller Music, that's my YouTube channel.
Okay.
And I have a different website that I think you might not have seen. It's MillerMusic.co. So that's like where my like songwriting, recording, guitar stuff is.
Okay.
MillerMusicLessons.com is kind of like my school website for like local lessons kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It was good being on here, Jim.
And, excellent.
You're amazing, dude. I think you got me into the Beatles, by the way.
No way. Come on. Your parents didn't listen to the Beatles?
Well, they did, like
not passionately,
but like it reinsurged this like love for the Beatles, and then you would like be like, dude, the Beatles, and
Caleb was super into the Beatles too.
Oh, Caleb was super, yeah, he was, but
all right,
man,
thanks a lot,
thanks, Jim.
Talk to you in the future. Bye bye.
Take care, buddy.
That was Eric. It was great catching up with him. What can I say? I enjoyed hearing about his school and family and homeschooling and homesteading. It's all pretty cool stuff. I also appreciate that he kept referring to various avenues that he pursued as deviations because, I mean, it's almost like he knew the name of the show. Eric gives luck and faith a lot of the credit for keeping him focused, and I think that there's something to that, but maybe not exactly in the way that he sees it. Not everybody has a strong support network. Between family and church, and even with his students, I think it's safe to say that Eric has a very strong support system in place. Also note that not everyone with a support network utilizes it well. Some of them don't even have the personality that it takes to access that support network. So yeah, he's lucky, but that doesn't change the fact that he is driven and dedicated to working his ass off, whether that personality attribute is learned or given by God, or maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. I don't know. I don't want to generalize, but I'm gonna assume that most of you have some kind of a support network in place. You know, don't be afraid to take advantage of that. Ask for support when you need it. But I wish I had a little bit more of the nose to the grindstone work ethic that Eric has. But I'm a little bit more easily distracted than he is. So yeah, I love hearing about the homeschooling, the homesteading, the diversification of all the different jobs he's tried, and the expansion of teaching methods and the utilization of his students to keep current for personal and professional reasons. Yeah, I hope we can talk again soon, maybe in 15 or 20 years. Thank you for being on the show, Eric. And thank you, dear listener. I hope you also enjoyed the episode. As usual, I'd like to remind you how much I appreciate your time. If you are interested in more Feel Free to Deviate content, I'm at Feel Free to Deviate on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and even on Facebook, if that tickles your fancy. You can also find a website at feelfreetodeviate.com. If you feel the urge to contribute financially, there's a donate page on the website, but you can also go to buymeacoffee.com/feelfree. That's Just Feel Free, no deviations. It's a quick, easy, and painless way to offset the cost of running the show while simultaneously keeping me caffeinated, which costs more than you might think. You can also go and leave a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts, or I don't know, I guess you can do it at other podcast places as well. Or comment. You can comment on the things that I post on social media. Share them with friends. Tell people about the podcast. Yeah, it would be good. If you have any suggestions, thoughts, feelings, criticisms, keep it nice. Send me a message to mail@feelfreetodeviate.com, and I will most assuredly respond. The next episode coming up in 2 weeks is something. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but it will be. Que sera. Until then, try to enjoy as much as you can, and please be excellent to each other. Goodbye.